voanews.com/sunny. It's the sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the July 20th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's begin in South Africa, where cricket player Lungi Ngidi has made headlines for backing the Black Lives Matter movement and pointing out his country's history of racial discrimination. The 24-year-old Ngidi has been criticized by some former players, but other South African sportsmen and sportswomen are rallying in support of the young player. Iron Mike Mbonye contacted one of them, the head coach of Nigeria's national men's rugby team, the South African Bronson Weir.
So it doesn't matter the sporting code, we must stand together. We never said, one thing that I want to mention is that we never said that all lives don't matter. It does, in fact, but all we're asking for is that all lives now support the black movement. I think it's time that there are more cricketers or players or sportsmen around the globe given a fair opportunity without looking at their color. A lot of sportsmen or top sportsmen and coaches has been coming out now and stating the facts. They've been hiding behind their fears and being alone and didn't want to raise their opinion, but I think the pandemic brought some quiet time and a reflection, and I think the guys are now raising their voice and a lot more standing up. And Lungi is not the only one. I think there are many other sportsmen that's taking a knee and stating why they're doing this. So yeah, it doesn't matter the sporting code. We're just all supporting the notion, and that's why the rugby players have started basically a forum and a group to discuss this, and we decided to take a statement to SA. As you're well aware, I've coached junior teams in South Africa, but I was not good enough to coach at a higher level. And then I had to go look for greener pastures in other African countries instead of growing where there was supposed to be a particular pathway for me, but nothing happened. I'm just speaking out of my own experience. There are many others that can mention to you where we fell away down the line. So we're good enough to coach junior teams, and although we're bringing the results, we're not good enough to coach the bigger or the mainstream teams like the 15-7s position now has been filled predominantly by white coaches because it's now becoming Olympic sports, so we're not good enough anymore. And then if you look at the transformation plan, every time it changes, so it's never really implemented. It changes every time. So every time they go back to the union and say, this is the transformation plan, when it's due, they change it again. So it's really not implemented, and I don't think that's fair. So
do you still have discrimination against qualified and experienced black rugby coaches in South Africa?
Just to clarify, I'm a colored coach, and under our democracy, I'm classified as a black coach in our constitution. So I'm not considered a white coach. In terms of if there's still discrimination, I definitely think there is in our country. South Africa has taken steps back instead of going forward. We are not given a fair chance or opportunity. When we do, coaches, sponsors tend to withdraw, and we're not given a sustainable opportunity. Not the same rules apply to the white coaches in terms of getting other players involved who played less tests. And many other things, budgets and so forth, I can mention. Assistant coaches are given to you when you're the head coach, while our white counterparts can choose who they want. And then after they leave, they can choose their friends to become head coaches. The criteria is, we weren't good enough. They said we need to sort out our paperwork. We sorted out our paperwork. And then once we sorted out the paperwork and got the qualifications, then we're not good enough anymore. And then they changed the rules, rather, in terms of budgets and so forth. Like I mentioned, if you look across the globe, I don't think there's enough coaches across the globe of color coaching mainstream main teams, and hence the players of color not getting a fair opportunity.
Which way forward? What should be done to reverse this trend and ensure that there is equity in the running of sports in South Africa?
Currently, we're rejecting we as rugby players or ex-rugby players and coaches that coach at the international level and so forth, and in provincial level. level has decided to reject the transformation plan of South Africa because, like I mentioned, it is not implemented most of the time. They keep sidestepping or changing the timelines and what they're planning to do, but it doesn't really get implemented. So hence the reason we're not accepting it, and we basically want, when I say our guys, black CEOs, black strategic managers to start making these changes or stand to give us a fair chance and stand up for us in the meetings and so forth. That's basically what we're trying to do now. Black decision makers in influential positions. So that's what we're striving for. It's not just about the coaching, but also CEOs, high performance managers and so forth. And so we can bring the players through of color and or look at everybody at the same way instead of looking the other way.
That's Bronson Weir, the head coach of Nigeria's national men's rugby team. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Cape Town, South Africa.
Sporting greetings. This is Bronson Weir, the head coach of the Nigerian national men's rugby team. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Prince Nesta joins us once again with a look at the weekend European club football highlights. Prince says the Gunners of Arsenal advanced to the FA Cup final thanks to more heroics from their Gabonese star. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Arsenal stunned reigning FA Cup champions Manchester City at Wembley as two Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang strikes sealed a memorable semi-final win for the Gunners as they reached the FA Cup final. The finals will be Arsenal's first since 2017, in addition to which they will be guaranteed a spot in the Europa League group stage next season. As for Manchester City, they will now focus on the UEFA Champions League schedule to be held in early August. The Gunners will face Chelsea in an all-London FA Cup final after the Blues saw a resilient Manchester United 3-1 at Wembley on Sunday. The Red Devils' goalkeeper De Gea made a flimsy attempt to deal with Olivier Giroud's flick in first half stoppage time. Then weakly fumbled Mason Mount's 10-20-yard shot into the net moments after the restart. Chelsea's excellent performance fully merited the victory, and United's abject misery after a dreadful performance was complete when captain Harry Maguire diverted Marcus Alonso's cross into his own net at the near post with 16 minutes left. Bruno Fernandes pulled a goal back from the penalty spot late on after English winger of Ghanaian descent Callum Hudson-Odoi fouled Antoine Martial. Harry Kane took his tally to 23 goals in this injury-restricted season with the Brest as Tottenham beat Leicester 3-0 on Sunday to enhance its Europa League qualification hopes. The win ensured Tottenham moved up to 6th in the table, but it was a damaging defeat for Brendan Rodgers' side, who still remain in the Champions League places, but can be dislodged from 4th spot by Manchester United, before facing Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's side in the season finale next Sunday. There is a triple header in the English Premier League on Monday, and soccer fans across the globe will be tuning in to watch Sheffield United battle Everton, Brighton and Hove Albion host Newcastle, while Wolverhampton Wanderers will also entertain Crystal Palace. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. La Liga champions Real Madrid signed off with a 2-2 draw at Leganés, which saw the host relegated. Leganés had to win to stand a chance of overhauling Celta Vigo, whose draw at Espanyol proved enough to keep them up by a point. Los Blancos, who had secured the league title on Thursday, will be back in Champions League action next month against Manchester City, trailing 2-1 from the first leg of their last 16 tie. Lionel Messi secured the golden boot once again with the brace as Barcelona finished the La Liga season with a 5-0 win at Alaves. The Argentina forward took his tally to 25 with a goal in each half after Guinea-Bissau born winger Ansu Fati had opened the scoring in the 24th minute. Luis Suarez made it 3-0 just before halftime, with defender Nelson Semedo, one of just 5 substitutes named on the bench, adding a 4th just before the hour, and Messi completing a comfortable victory with 15 minutes left. Barcelona will next be in action when they play Napoli in the second leg of their Champions League last 16 tie on August 8th, which is level at 1-1. Inter Milan's Belgian self Congolese descent Romelu Lukaku's penalty in the 88th minute salvaged a 2-2 draw at AS Roma in Serie A on Sunday as they started in their pursuit of leaders Juventus. The result left second place Inter 5 points behind Juventus, which can take a huge step toward a record extending 9th straight Italian league title with a win against Lazio at the Allianz Stadium on Monday. After a run of poor results, Juventus will be looking to get things back on track and take a step closer to retaining their Serie A crown. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nesta in Eugene, Oregon.
Dear respected friends, sports greetings. This is Milutin Mitrović-Sredović, coach of Zambia national football team Chipolo Polo and former national coach of Uganda Cranes. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscast. Every hour, on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
Yo, yo, yo! Sporty greetings, man. I'm Evelyn Akato, forward for the Tigress Nigerian Women's National Team and Flams Carolo Basket. Bonjour, bonjour, my people. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Please continue to stay safe and avoid contacting COVID-19. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Evelyn. Let's give a belated Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to Iron Mike Mbonye, who we heard from at the top of the show, talking with rugby coach Bronson Weir. Iron Mike told me he was grateful to celebrate another birthday on Sunday. Now, I'm not exactly sure how old Iron Mike is, but he did send me a birthday photo, and he looks healthy and happy. You can check out that photo at the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Let's send out more belated happy birthday wishes to Azuma Nelson, widely considered one of the greatest African boxers of all time. Nicknamed the Professor, Azuma celebrated his 62nd birthday on Sunday. During his fighting days, the Ghanaian warrior won world titles in the featherweight and super featherweight divisions. Just ahead, Samson Omale will have football news from Egypt, Tunisia, South Africa, and Zambia.
Zambia Super League resumed on Sunday, one day behind schedule after a match involving leaders Forest Rangers was postponed at the last minute after the hosts reportedly had 28 positive COVID-19 tests from 58 players and staff tested. An Later on Sunday, two players, each from Zesco United and Power Dynamos, tested positive in overnight testing conducted by health officials following Saturday's chaos and have been quarantined. Zambia decided to restart the 2019-2020 season behind closed doors amid a health crisis with 2,810 confirmed infections in the country. Damasio Piri is a Zambia journalist based in Lusaka. He tells me how the first day of football restart went by.
Soccer fans in the country have been eagerly waiting for the league to resume. Fans were glued to their television sets to see if a report of 28 players at Forest Rangers was just a hoax. All the matches were played without fans in the stadium as a measure to contain the spread of coronavirus.
In South Africa, a total of six Mamelodi Sundowns players have been struck by injuries since the club returned to training earlier in the month. Like many other clubs in the Premier Soccer League, the reigning league champions have resumed training after being under lockdown since March. Meanwhile, former Egyptian Football Association president Hani Abarida is likely to run for the Confederation of African Football presidency. That's if the current president, Ahmed Ahmed, decides not to pursue another term, having been elected in 2017. The 66-year-old official, who is also a FIFA council member since 2017, served as Egyptian Football Association president but resigned following the shock elimination of Egypt from the 2019 African Cup of Nations round of 16. The CAF elections are scheduled to be held in March 2021, and it remains unclear whether Ahmed Ahmed will pursue another term. Staying with football news, Tunisia's Atoul de Sahel and Ivorian striker Soleimani Koulibaly were ordered by FIFA to pay $14 million to Al Ahly within 45 days or risk facing a raft of sanctions, the Egyptian giants were told on Saturday. Ahly had lodged a fresh complaint with the world governing body last month after Atoul failed to pay the $1.4 million penalty imposed on them over the player's acrimonious exit from the Cairo club in the summer of 2017. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of the Uganda men's national team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Yes, sporty greetings. This is three-time Olympian and Beijing 2008 Olympic medalist Chika Chukwumerijie. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Chika. Joining us with more sports news is Douglas Mpuga. And Douglas says he'll be kicking off with Africa's premier football tournament.
The 2023 Africa Cup of Nations will take place in June and July. The Secretary General of the Confederation of African Football, CAF, Abdel Ba, announced the switch and clarified that according to the new regulations, CAF has decided to play all Nations Cup in June and July. In 2017, CAF decided to schedule all future Nations Cups for this month, enshrining the change in its tournament regulations. The next Nations Cup will take place in January 2022. However, due to unfavorable weather conditions in Cameroon in June and July, when the host country suffers some of the wettest months of the year, with the Nations Cup in early 2022 and mid-2023 and the 2022 World Cup, it means some of Africa's leading footballers could play three major tournaments in the space of 18 months. Meanwhile, Egypt and Tunisia have both said they are prepared to host the semi-finals and final of this year's Africa Champions League. The Confederation of African Football, CAF, is looking to replace Cameroon, who on Monday withdrew from hosting the matches due to a spike in coronavirus infections in the country. The games are scheduled for September. The semi-finals are both said to be Morocco against Egypt, as Al Ahly play Wydad Casablanca, while Zamalek take on Raja Casablanca. Before the postponement of sports around the world due to COVID-19, the semi-finals were set to be played over two legs, home and away, with the final a one-off match on neutral territory for the first time ever. Last month, CAF decided that the Champions League and the Confederation Cup resume in September in a final four format and the semi-finals reduced to a single match. The Confederation Cup matches will be played in Morocco. In athletics, October's Chicago Marathon has been cancelled because of coronavirus concerns, according to the marathon organizers. This follows United States' other major marathons in Boston and New York that have also been called off because of the pandemic. Kenya's Bridget Kosgei won the women's race in 2019 in a world record time, and compatriot Lawrence Chirono won the men's race. Meanwhile, International Olympic Committee President Thomas Bach has said the International Olympic Committee is fully committed to the Tokyo Olympics 2021. The Olympics should have begun on July 24th, but were postponed in March because of COVID-19 and are now due to be held from July 23rd to August 8th of next year. The International Olympic Committee president said there were all different countermeasures, but hoped spectators would be allowed. He said an Olympics behind closed doors is clearly something they do not want. Meanwhile, the Youth Olympics in Senegal, scheduled for 2022, have been put back to 2026. Bach explained that the fourth edition of the Youth Games was postponed due to the financial consequences of the current global health crisis. And finally, World Athletics President Lord Cole has been elected as a member of the International Olympic Committee. The 63-year-old had been turned down for IOC membership a number of times, most recently in December. The two-time Olympic 1500 meters champion became head of Athletics World Governing Body in 2015.
Thanks, Douglas! That's Douglas Mpuga.
Hi, this is Tatiana McFadden, 17-time Paralympic medalist, 7-time gold medalist, 17-time marathon champion, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
Now let's go to Dublin, Ohio, where Spanish golfer John Rahm has reached the number one ranking in the world by winning the Memorial Tournament. The AP's Dave Ferry reports.
John Rahm moves to the top of the world golf rankings after a convincing victory at the Memorial. Rahm closed with a 3 over 75 for a 9-under total, three strokes ahead of second-round co-leader Ryan Palmer. The 25-year-old Spaniard was leading by seven shots on Sunday before a double bogey on the par 5 11th cut into his advantage. He later received a two-stroke penalty after being initially credited with a five-stroke win. To become the number one golfer, Rahm had to win the tournament and hope Rory McIlroy finished no better than third. McIlroy tied for 32nd. Rahm joined Seve Ballesteros as the only Spaniards to reach number one. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. The Memorial Tournament is hosted by golf great Jack Nicklaus, who says he tested positive for the coronavirus. Reuters reporter Lisa Bernhard tells us more.
Golf legend Jack Nicklaus said on Sunday that he contracted COVID-19 earlier this year and that his wife Barbara had also tested positive for the coronavirus. At 80 years old, Nicklaus is in a high-risk category for becoming seriously ill with the disease. He said he considered himself lucky to have come through with a relatively mild case. Speaking during a weather delay in the final round of play of the Memorial Tournament in Ohio that he hosts, Nicholas said that while he had symptoms of the illness, his wife was asymptomatic. The couple self-isolated at their home in South Florida from March 13th to April 20th. Nicholas said that he had tested positive 4 times and his wife, Barbara, 3. Both have since tested positive for the coronavirus antibody.
And thanks to Reuters reporter Lisa Bernhard for that story. And that wraps up the July 20th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's Newsmaker Interview Program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo, and makossa to kwaito. The African beat on VOA has it all.